AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. It is Monday morning, and at about this time on the second and fourth Mondays, and sometimes on other occasions, we get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with the city manager, Ed Gordon, and members of the staff and management of the city of Bartlesville. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie.
And by the way, I know it's early, but next weekend being Memorial Day, we'll remind people that it is a city holiday next Monday, right?
Next Monday, a week from today, is an official holiday for the city of Bartlesville and for most government offices and many businesses.
Right.
And with that coming up, remember that if your pickup day, trash solid waste pickup day, is on Monday, it will now fall on Wednesday.
Okay.
So if you normally expect somebody to come by and you set your trash out on Monday morning, it won't be picked up a week from today.
Right.
And so Wednesday's the day.
Okay.
How's your weekend?
It was excellent. Had the opportunity to, it was graduation around several schools around the area.
And was it for your wife? I know she teaches school. Did you all go up to school?
She actually has retired from teaching in Independence, Kansas, but seeing it still being connected to those students that she had as sophomores
mentored,
or juniors.
Mentored,
We went and attended Independence High School's graduation yesterday afternoon.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And that went well?
It went off without a hitch. And
what'd you do this weekend?
Let's see. I was at the Saturday night Community Foundation Awards banquet to honor a couple of families in town.
That was the Mr. Ambler and Mr. Haskell?
That would be the two.
Haskell, the two families that were honored?
Yes, the two families that
congratulations
were honored.
Congratulations to them.
Yep.
Great folks. Contributed much to our community.
I was on standby Friday night expecting severe weather, but it traveled south of I-44, thankfully, as far as our listeners are concerned.
You're here all the time. Radio's always responsive. And this morning, Charlie, we've got several people in the room with us this morning, the booth.
We do.
Our sound official City of Bartlesville sound booth. We rename it for this event,
okay.
The City of Bartlesville sound booth. I want a little exercise here. We're going to see if we have Mr. Bailey, who is our CFO. And thank you, Mr. Bailey was busy over there with his cell phone.
Good morning.
These young folks and their electronic devices, I'm not certain about.
Business communications.
Yes, I'm sure it was. Monkey business communications. Mr. Bailey.
Yes.
If I wanted to haul off, I live in the city limits of Bartlesville, and I pay a water bill in the city limits of Bartlesville. As a resident of the city of Bartlesville, if I want to go to the landfill, what are my options?
Well, at this point in time, everyone should have received a coupon that was good for one trip to the landfill. And those you would have to go during your normal business hours. And you would present that along with your water bill as you drove into the landfill, and you would be allowed one trip to the dump for free. And that's good for all residential customers.
All residential customers.
Yep. Now, if you have lost your coupon, as I know some people have, or if you, a lot of people are on electronic payments and they don't even open their bill, if you've lost your coupon, you can contact us. We'll provide you with another one. However, be aware that the landfill is double checking to make sure that no one is making more than one trip. So
we do every month, we do a summary of those and a comparison. And if they do make an extra trip, we'll bill them for that.
And we have. Yes, sir.
Yes.
There's been a few that have perhaps mistakenly made more than one trip.
Well, and I'll say that has come up, I'm sure, in conversations. Let's say, hypothetically, I don't use mine, but my neighbor has a whole bunch of stuff. That they can't just use my coupon as saying, well, I got a coupon.
Yep, you're exactly right. And the landfill would probably allow them through, but when they noted the person, the individual who had made the trip, they would note that was the second trip, and we would reconcile that and would bill them for that one trip.
In other words, it's non-transferable.
Right.
Yep, you're exactly correct.
Does it expire?
Yes, it does expire. It has a life to it.
Yeah, they're however, an additional one will be sent out. So I believe we set it up on a six-month. We discussed quarterly.
Months, but so
we did every 6 months, so people will get another coupon after that one expires.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that clarification. There's always a lot going on in the city of Bartlesville. Let's start with our acting director of police operations. Tom Holland, of course, had some he had a hangnail removed, and he's still laid up from that. Morning, Rocky. We have our acting director of operations, Captain Rocky Bevard, with us.
Morning, sir. Morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
He's over the patrol division, and the along with the patrol division, he has dispatch and the SOT team and
animal control, parking enforcement.
Animal control and
all kinds of stuff.
Animal control and parking enforcement.
Yes, sir.
Captain, good morning.
Morning.
How are things at the police department?
Things are going well.
What happened this weekend? Anything exciting?
Nothing to really speak about, fortunately.
Fortunately, it's a
fortunately.
Good thing. When nothing happens, it's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
It
yes,
is.
Sir.
We're here to protect and serve and keep our folks safe and our employees safe.
Yes, sir.
Last week, Rocky, midweek, mm-hmm. Wednesday, we exercised a service and we did not get to talk about that. And I wanted to do that today.
Well, thank you for that.
The timing of this. And Rocky, it is the Fallen Officers Memorial or Peace Officers Memorial Day.
Correct.
And tell us a little bit about the history of this day. And then let's talk about how it's celebrated nationally. I know the president recognized that day on the 15th of May. But then, in particular, how we do that here. But go ahead. Talk about the history.
It's actually the whole week that the 15th falls on. So it was last week. And we honor those that have given their lives in the line of duty to protect and serve. We do that across the nation. Of course, we have a national memorial in Washington, D.C. that I was fortunate enough to visit back in 2012. With thousands and thousands of names on the wall of the officers that have fallen in the line of duty.
21 plus thousand, as
yes,
I recall.
Sir. It's, I think it's up over 22,000 now.
Okay. Last time it was 21 and close to that number, 22,000.
Correct.
So it's now gone over 22,000.
That is correct. And we honor those that have given the ultimate sacrifice during the week of the 15th of May every year. We usually do it on a Wednesday, and last Wednesday was the day that we did that at 11:30. We honor those that have fallen locally as far back as records are kept, and we have actually 13 names. But we've nationally been doing this since October of 1961. The Peace Officers Memorial Day came into effect when Congress asked the President to designate May 15th to honor law enforcement officers, and President John F. Kennedy signed the bill into law on that day, October 1, 62. And each year, the President of the United States proclaims May 15th as Peace Officers Memorial Day, and the calendar week of each year during which such May 15th occurs as Police Week. So we did that with the Honor Guard, with speaking the names of those that are on our memorial at 100 East Hensley, still at the corner of Hensley and Johnstone, and it will remain there. We keep the flag flying over that memorial, and I believe that the city manager is taking steps in the future to erect a memorial garden there for our memorial and possibly the firefighters' memorial as well.
That is correct. We're going to do both, and we'll landscape that area and when the police department, when that building comes down, we'll take steps to plant some crepe myrtles and such around it and some benches specifically around that and make an area so that where there'll be sufficient parking so lots of folks can participate when they want. We'll probably continue to hold those down there because it has more room and more access for a celebration of both firefighters and police officers. But we will have at the new police department some plaques that will on pedestals that we'll have made specifically for this event. Rocky, how many, Captain Bevard, how many officers in Washington County do you know have given their lives in service to our community.
12 police officers and one canine officer. And that dates back to 1907. And, of course, the last one we lost was Canine Cooper in 2010.
And Rocky, we include, what about sheriff's officers, too?
That is correct. Oshaleta City Marshals, Dewey Police Officers, Ramona Police Officers, and Bartlesville Police Officers, as well as Washington County.
And of course, who is our speaker this year for the event?
It was 11th Judicial District Attorney Kevin Buchanan.
He spoke at the event, and I thought he really did a right fine job.
Yes, sir.
I know Judge Curtis DeLapp, I believe, spoke last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
And they do an excellent job. Rocky, so it is a time to pause and to remember those that have given so much for the cause of liberty in our communities in Washington County. Rocky, how long have we been celebrating this particular day? Do you know?
As long as I've been a police officer here, which has been 30 years,
so
we've been having some sort of ceremony. Now, it hasn't been the full-blown honor guard ceremony, that kind of thing. But our memorial in front of the police department, we've had some sort of memorial there since I've been a police officer here.
And we have an honor guard that specifically participates in that.
Correct.
Yeah. And of course, at that, it's a very, it's a solemn occasion.
It is.
And celebrated as a solemn occasion, remembering those, reading your officers in the honor guard, reading off the names of those in Washington County who have given so much for us. And Rocky, I'm glad that we have the opportunity to celebrate. Talk a little bit about the honor guard and how we do it here.
Well, we have a 15 member honor guard, rifle team members, trumpet player. We have a gentleman that plays the bagpipes for us. This year he was out of service, but we have a bagpipe player. And the rifle team gives the 21-gun salute. Of course, they're commanded by Sergeant Chris Mims, and we have an assistant commander in case he's absent. But we have a 15-member honor guard team.
Well, Rocky, we appreciate the recognition. And with you this morning is our fire chief. Morning,
Good
Chief.
Morning.
Morning, sir. This is Chief John Banks. Chief Banks, for this year, this first year, we've had this celebration as a fire department. Is that right?
Yes. The May the 4th is Fallen Firefighters Day. And on that day, we recognize, you know, all the firefighters that have fallen in the line of duty or passed before us. And we didn't do anything on that day, but on the first Sunday in May is what they call Sound Off. And all across the world, they pull trucks out on the apron and they sound their sirens at noon for 30 seconds, followed by a minute of silence. And so, you know, you do it local time. So that was our remembrance of their fallen comrades for this year. Next year we will have something planned for May the 4th.
So in other words, our department is formalizing the event with a formal honor guard.
Yes, I don't know if any of the listeners remember, we started putting an honor guard together. I think it was January, marking our 112th year, I think, the Bartlesville Fire Department. Those guys, we have sent two of those, six original members, and now we're up to eight. We sent two of those members to a class in Texas just here a month ago that went through a week-long training on honor guard practices and stuff, and we're getting those guys. We're getting some uniforms ordered, and And they're already doing some things, but we'll be up and moving good by then.
Sounds almost military, doesn't it, Charlie?
I had training of the similar sort in Texas, too. They called it basic. Yeah.
There was
Blackfoot Air Force Base, yeah.
It was Fort Campbell, Kentucky is where I hung out.
Take the last train to Clarksville.
I think it was 101st Airborne or somebody's barracks we stayed in because they were busy in Vietnam. anyway, but yeah, that's very interesting that at this time. And so I know that Captain Bivard's group has formal uniforms that they use for that particular event. And I think you're doing something similar?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we'll have there's a lot of moving parts to putting an honor guard together. I mean, we need ceremonial flags and axes and stuff like that. We've been purchasing those items. We've got three of the eight have been fitted for their honor guard suits.
It's not inexpensive to do.
It's pretty pricey. So we've just been kind of chipping away at it as we go. And we'll have them all outfitted, I hope, by the end of the year.
When you say the end of the year, you're talking about 2017?
Yes.
Fiscal or calendar?
Calendar.
Calendar year.
Calendar is what I'm hoping for.
We're fixing to talk about fiscal.
We've got some
Jacob.
Well-dedicated members of the department that have volunteered their time to do this. You know, they don't draw any extra pay or anything for it.
And, it's a labor of love.
Yeah,
and, genuinely.
And we're, it's a day on the calendar that this kind of came and gone for us without much celebration. But we're going to change that. And,
well, Johnny, Chief Banks, do we know in Washington County? Almost call him Johnny Ray. That's an endearing term. Like Rocky B and Johnny Ray, we all have these names for each other. I'm not sure. Yeah, Cousin Eddie. We'll talk after this. After this, a quick radio break. Chief Banks, in Washington County, have we lost any firefighters in Washington County?
Not that I know of. I'm sure there has been. I need to do some research going back, you know, over time.
You've been with our fire department for
38 years.
38 years. One of the longest tenured firemen we have is Chief Banks. 38 years with the department. So he has quite a history and knows quite a bit of the history of the department. But we'll research that. And as next year, we're going to have a little more formal celebration next year.
Yeah, I hope to do something similar to what the PD does on their police week, and we'll do something like that. We're trying to get, like I say, we want to get our honor guard to get up and celebrate that day fitting for that occasion, and we will do so next year.
Well, we look forward to that and the opportunity to celebrate. And again, it is such a, we have a town of 36,000 and change, almost headed toward 37,000. And the work that your department does, Chief Banks, in providing protection to property, and in particular, fire codes that have been enacted to protect the lives of property owners, those have made a significant difference in firefighting over the years.
Oh, definitely. I mean, our fire prevention program, the inspections, you'll see the guys out doing company inspections. They're not really inspections. They're more of a pre-planning type of
incident. Want to know what's in the building and what.
Yeah, and so you'll see our crews out doing those. And then our fire marshal, in my office, we make sure that building code, the fire codes and stuff are met anytime there's new structures going up or remodels of old ones, and we try to stay on top of that.
So when I get a call from somebody, why is that fire truck parked out in front of that business? They're in there shopping. They're probably in there doing what?
Well, they're either in there looking, familiarizing themselves with that piece of property, and they have to eat, so they do grocery shop. Every day you'll see a truck at Walmart, and they'll usually go there and put a plug in there. I guess that's okay. And they shop at other stores around, you know, closest to their station typically.
See them at United.
Yeah, see them at United, see them at Homeland. You see them all over town, you know, shopping. But anyway, yeah, they.
But there are in these businesses looking for hazardous materials or
yeah, they're looking for just fire hazards. I mean, you know, maybe a fray extension cord or a piece of Romex hanging out of the ceiling that shouldn't be there or something. I mean, you know, they're looking to make sure that people are safe and that buildings are fire smart.
Well, thank you for all that you all do. We mm-hmm. appreciate it very much.
Before we leave the topic of public safety, Chief or Acting Chief Bevard, because this is Memorial Day weekend coming up, I know it's a national push. I know it's getting state emphasis. You may or may not have a formal program, but the Click It or Ticket program will be active nationwide this weekend.
Yeah, that is correct. And we always participate in that. We're participating in that every day, watching for people not wearing their seat belts and people not using child restraints. So yes, sir, we'll
need
be out.
Call me back to City Hall.
We'll be out in force, checking to make sure people are wearing seat belts and not driving under the influence.
And sometimes we participate with the Sheriff's Department.
We do sometimes.
I know they set up checkpoints.
Correct.
And I know that our department, Bartlesville Police Department, will participate with Sheriff Silver and his department.
And the Highway Patrol.
And the Highway Patrol. So we partner up with those groups as they
correct
as they have the ability. So appreciate that reminder, Charlie. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Mr. Bailey, good morning.
Good morning.
Our Chief Financial Officer is here. And Mike, we have a city council meeting tonight.
We do. We have a city council meeting followed by a workshop.
And, of course, we've got one action item. Some time ago, the city council promulgated an internal rule that if we're going to spend money, we have to do it with the cameras turned on and
that's
with
right.
in their regular chambers. And we're going to award a bid tonight. But as soon as that bid award is over, then we're going to move into the second floor conference room where we're going to have our first workshop. Tell me what's going to happen tonight.
Well, tonight will be the discussion of our budgets. And by budgets, I mean both the operating and the capital budgets. So this is our workshop setting, which is a little more informal than our normal council meetings. It allows us to sit around a table and with staff and council participating in discussions about what is included in the budget this year. It'll probably be a pretty lengthy meeting. No action will be taken after the workshop. It will be followed by a public hearing at our first meeting in June. And the public hearing will be for citizens to express their opinion on the city's budget. And then the council typically will adopt the budget that same night. They don't have to. We have them towards the end of June to adopt it, but typically they'll go ahead and adopt it that night if there's no changes.
And so this is an informal meeting where in the second floor conference room, the city council can...
Second or first floor?
What'd I say?
You said second.
Well... If they show up at the second floor, they can meet there, but there'll be nobody there.
That's true. According to the Open Meetings Act, the agenda says first floor.
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you for that reminder. I'm so used to meeting on the second floor, I never leave the second floor.
That's where we.
You can still do that if you post notice at the first floor conference room that's been moved.
There you go.
Thank you for reminding us of the Open Meetings Act, Charlie. How that works.
Happy to.
Yes, and you.
Please, somebody needs to, Charlie.
A proper responsibility of the press to ensure public compliance.
There. And by the way, Charlie has called us on a couple of those in the past. Oh, by the way.
Inadvertent
omissions. And Charlie said, hey, you can't do that. And he's right.
We appreciate that.
I don't care what you do so much as long as you do it properly.
Yeah. So we meet in the first floor conference room and tonight to do a walkthrough on our budget.
Yep.
Now, along with that, there'll be also a presentation on capital.
There will. The discussion of both, like I said, the operating and the capital budget. Mr. Seamers, the city engineer, will be presenting the capital budget tonight. We have several different sources of money for our capital budget. There's a dedicated sales tax that the citizens have approved. And we have some GO bond money that citizens have approved. And then the final source that we typically look to is our capital reserve fund. And in that, we have some dedicated enterprise fund revenues for wastewater and water that are dedicated to capital. They're in there. And then there's also some money transferred in for some other funds, including the general fund and the sanitation fund. So that is essentially what that discussion will revolve around, will be those sources.
And Mike, as we look at, of course, it's influenced by two things. We have there's the spending side, but what drives the spending side is the revenue side.
You're exactly right. The first thing we do before we consider how much we're going to spend is we figure out how much we're going to have to spend. And so part of that is figuring out how much we're going to have to carry over. And then the most important step, though, is in our revenue projections. And of course, the most important revenue is sales tax, at least for general operations. And that one has been that one's been a little uncertain lately.
And when you use that word general, the general fund, that includes what primary departments? I know there's a number, but what are the primary departments?
Well, typically that is just about anything that you see that the city does that isn't related to a utility is paid for out of the general fund, including the police, fire, library, streets, parks, and then all of our internal departments as well, administration, accounting, all community development, engineering. So pretty much everything that you see as a city service that's not related to a utility is funded through the general fund.
And we have several utilities that we count. What are those utilities, Mike?
We do. We have sanitation, which of course is trash service, and then we have a wastewater utility and a water utility. Those are our three major ones.
And then we have our pools. We count those is also a business
we
side.
We do. We have the pools and the golf course that we consider those as business entities. They don't fully fund their own way, but they do fund it to a large degree.
Mr. Bailey, tonight, what is our total overall operational budget for this year? As we look at this year.
So when we look at the general fund, there's about $23 million that's available to be appropriated. Now that will be appropriated in a number of ways, and a large part of that will actually be. I'm sorry, I said 23. I meant 22 million. A large part of that will be in our reserves. 22 doesn't sound like a big deal until you realize you're talking about millions. A large part of that will be appropriated for our operations. There will be some that will be appropriated for reserves, and some again that will be appropriated for transfers into the capital fund.
Well, we're getting close on time. When we talk about revenue into the general fund, our primary source is sales tax.
Sales tax.
Real quick, for the citizens, talk about sales tax for just a moment.
Well, sales tax has been on the decline for the last about 9 of the last 12 months. We are hoping that we're going to hit the bottom of that trough sometime soon. It's pretty common around Oklahoma for us to be on the decline. Most of that's related to the energy sector and the low prices of oil. We're a little unique in that we do have some new retail coming online for the first time, probably significant retail development since I would say the 80s with the development of Washington Park Mall. So we're hopeful that will help us to turn it around, but the reality is we're hoping that we hit the bottom of the trough and start to turn around at some point in the near future.
Kind of a soft economy, and it has an effect on our sales tax.
Absolutely.
Well, appreciate, how many pages is our budget this year?
I believe we got paper it down to pages. 390 paper pages.
390, is that's some sort of a record?
But we double-sided it, so it's really only 145.
It's not, listen to that. It's always the optimist, the eternal optimist. Mike, thank you for you and Alicia and Jason, the work that you all do, and all the directors and the city council that are dwelling off the angles on this thing and helping us put this budget together. It is a huge project.
It is.
And it is the primary policy document that the City Council passes. So tonight, Charlie will be the first hearing on this wonderful document. Have a great day, Charlie. God bless the city of Bartlesville.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville.